All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milt. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm really glad that you are here today as we continue talking through the will of God. And before we get started, I just really want you to hear something, and I want you to let it resonate. Let it just settle within your spirit this morning. You are wanted, you are welcome, and you are needed here in this place. I hope you feel that way because it's true. And I want to ask you to help me recite our family declaration. We're declaring that this is our authority. This isn't just something we read occasionally. This isn't something that we cherry pick things that we like and discard the things we don't like. This is our authority in every aspect of our lives. And that's what we're declaring when I say, help me recite our family declaration. Because apart from this, we're a mess. Apart from God's help today, we won't accomplish anything of eternal value. And so I think it's important that we start off with acknowledging who he is, whose we are, and what this really is, our authority. So if you would, help me recite that, and then we'll get started this morning. Everybody ready? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Very good. All right. I could hear you singing. I can hear you reciting. Let's keep it going. Okay, this will be a little interactive. I want you to help me out and participate. And you know, when something's striking at you and I say, how many, you know, you raise your hand, okay? Everybody make sure you got at least one hand that works. Can I see that everybody has one that works? Okay, all right, some of you. all right, let me ask you a question. How many of you sincerely want to accomplish God's will for your life? By a show of hands. I would think that would be all of us, right? But let me ask you another question. You don't really have to raise your hand to this one. But I wonder how many of us sincerely want to accomplish God's will for our lives, but so often we find ourselves making poor choices instead. Remember last week we started talking about the boundaries of God's will. We talked about the providential will of God. That's the will of God that's going to happen no matter what. Like when the Father says, Jesus, it's time to go, then nothing's going to stop it. The providential will of God. And then over here, we talked about the moral will of God. That's God's will for us to live morally according to the Word of God. And as we continue this week and next week, we're going to continue to hone in sharper and sharper and more pointed and pointed to the personal will of God. So today, I want to ask the question, and the title of this message is, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Because I contend that the bottom line, I think, is we all want to accomplish God's will for our lives. We all want to please God with our lives, but so many times we end up feeling like we don't quite measure up. I think of David, right? I love the story of David. That is so rich. Maybe the reason I love the story of David so much is because I think I can see so much of his life in my life, and you could do whatever you want with that. Don't go too crazy, but I mean, I can see so much. I can see so much of David's heart and life in the way I live my life, and you know, good and bad and indifferent. But think about this. Here's David. Skinny, scrawny, teenage David, and he's taking care of the family's flock. And Samuel comes, and Samuel's going to anoint the next king of Israel. Remember, we got Saul, right? And stumbling, bumbling Saul. And Samuel is coming to anoint the next king. And he shows up at Jesse's house, and of all the sons of Jesse, how many are there? Eight. Of all the sons of Jesse, Samuel anoints skinny, scrawny, teenage David. Y'all remember what David did as soon as he was anointed with oil and announced to be the next king of Israel? He went back to the field and taking care of his father's, his family's flock. David had a heart that beat for the things of God. In fact, no one else in all of Scripture is mentioned to have the title that David did, a man after God's own heart. Wow. That's quite a title, right? I mean, how many of us want to be known as a man or a woman after God's own heart, like chasing after the heart of God with every beat that we have, right? David loved God, and he wanted to accomplish God's will for his life. In fact, Scripture concludes that David did accomplish God's purposes and plans for his life. Acts chapter 13, in verse 36, says, "Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed." Now, I don't know about you, but I would be super happy if that was the epitaph on my headstone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would prefer they change the name from David to Milt, right? But I would just be super happy if that's how God, and if that's how people who knew me remembered me. Now, when Milt, now when you had served God's purposes in your own generation, you fell asleep. You were buried with your ancestors and your body decayed. I mean, what else is there? Because this is just a shell, right? When I breathe my last breath, I'm going to step into the very presence of Jesus, and there I'll be for all eternity. Amen. So we don't get caught up in this flesh. We don't get caught up in this world. We don't get caught up in the matters of this world, because we're not of this world. We're of a different kingdom, a different world. Think about that. Yet, watch this. Now, with David, in between the bookends, if you will, of Samuel anointing David as the future, the next king of Israel, and David fulfilling God's purposes and plans for his life, there's a lot of rut-rows, right? There's a lot of things that happened wrong in David's life. There's some decisions and choices he made that weren't awesome. Like David had a moment of laziness. And we can just bring it all the way back. The scripture says, in the days when kings went off to war, David stayed home. He's lazy. He was apathetic to his duties as commander and king. And that laziness, that apathetic behavior, led to lust, which gave birth to a sinful sexual adulterous affair with a married woman named Bathsheba. And then to try to cover up that affair, he arranged for Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to be killed in battle. Boom, all of a sudden, adultery and murder. And then he lied, and he tried covering it, and he tried hiding it, and he tried concealing it. And finally, he was pinned in a corner. There was nothing he could do. He was confronted with his sin. Otherwise, he'd have kept running from it. But he was confronted, and it was like, "David, you the man. You're the one that did this." You see, I doubt that David woke up that morning thinking, "You know what? I think today's a great day to ruin my life and a whole bunch of people's lives around me." I don't think David thought that at all. But as the king, watch this, as the king, I think he didn't wake up to do something wrong. In fact, I think as the king, he woke up and he probably didn't think he was doing anything wrong. Like sometimes you get this elevated arrogance where you think you deserve and you're entitled and you're not bound by the same rules everybody. I mean, I think something might have happened where David woke up and he probably almost thought he was doing okay. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing what was right. But we know what Proverbs says, don't we? It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it's the way of death. It ends in the way of death." I think we can all agree in our hearts that we want to do God's will with our lives. We want to please Him with our lives. I mean, we really want to do God's will. So this morning, I want us to take a look at a couple of mistakes that we make as humans that keep us from really accomplishing God's will, that keeps us from accomplishing God's plans and purposes for our lives. Now, the first one is seemingly going to seem like a no-brainer, right? But isn't that the way it goes? Sometimes we just can't see the forest for the trees. So what am I doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? Number one, we don't ask God. We don't ask God. Seriously. In an effort to... I'm preaching to myself, y'all. In an effort to please God and seek his will and make him happy, I'll take off 100 miles an hour. Going in whatever direction I think is right. And I don't even stop to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? God, which direction do you want me to go? Look at how James addresses this issue. James chapter 1 in verse number 5. James chapter 1 in verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, don't we all? Ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Quite honestly, though, where do we go? I mean, quite honestly, there's a lot of people that just, they go to their friends, right? You got your bestie, you got your group of friends, maybe you got your small group, and you're like, what should I do? I got this situation, what should I do with it, right? What would you do? We go to maybe our spouse. We go to, you know, listen, and I'm not saying those are wrong things, okay? But listen, sometimes we get just over the edge. We go over the cliff. And sometimes people go to like things like the dreaded horoscope. Yikes. Right? Is anybody old enough like me to remember the magic eight ball? Right? You know, the magic eight ball is this round black ball and has an eight on it, and underside it has a little clear piece of glass, and it's got some hazy liquid in it, and it's got like an octagon shaped cube type thing, and it's got random generic statements written on it. And people would like sincerely like ask it questions. You know, like, magic eight ball, will the Vikings ever win a Super Bowl? It is likely. Lies. Right? Magic eight ball. Will Birch Ridge still be alive and thriving when Jesus comes back? You can count on it. Yay! Right? Magic eight ball. Will I live to see 80? It is doubtful. Stupid eight ball. Right? I mean, we just do all kinds of goofy things. Some people put stock in the TV talk show hosts, right? Some people will like call in radio station, get advice. They'll look at, you know, back in the day, I think it was like Ann Landers. You'd like newspaper, you know, she'd answer all your questions, fix all of your dilemmas via a newspaper article, right? I mean, we'd go to all these different things. And listen, go back to your spouse and your friends and your small group. I'm not saying those are bad things, right? Listen, sometimes you can get some good advice. Let's be honest. Most of us don't really want good advice, do we? We'd rather take an O out and we'd want some God advice. That's what we really need. I mean, we want people to know what we're going through, so we talk to them and we ask them. But our first stop shopping should be God. Amen? We should bring our stuff to him and ask him, God, what do you want me to do? Which direction do you want me to go? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I just imagine even within this room, there's people that we take off and go in a different directions, and we'll seek all kinds of avenues to get advice and direction and wisdom, and we'll just skip right on past God. It happens all the time. We just don't ask God. Now, James has more to say about this. Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have. Why? Because you do not. See those words? They're big. Those letters are big. That means you got to read them with me, okay?
We want everybody to hear. I want the people over on K Beach to be able to hear what we just said, okay? Yet you do not have. Why? Because you do not ask. Very good. One more time. Yet you do not have. Why? Because you do not ask. We don't ask God. It's a mistake we make. We want God's will for our lives, but so often we just don't ask Him. Right? Here's our sign. Mistake number two. We rely too much on logic. In our lives, in our world, we rely too much on logic. I have to admit, this one gets me. It does. It gets me so many times. I'm like, well, that just don't make any sense. God. Right? And I will follow what seems right. Ooh, what does that say? Right? And the end leads to death. I'll be like, well, this really makes more sense. That just don't make no sense. That's just not logical. That's just not, human reasoning says, no, that's not the way to go. Listen, human reasoning can still the movement to God. Human logic can freeze the movement of God if we're not careful. Sometimes even in my mind, this will happen. Watch this. Sometimes I really need miracles. I don't know if you guys probably all got it figured out and life's going really well for you, but sometimes my life isn't going great and I need miracles. We all do, don't we? Being a little facetious with my words, aren't I? But sometimes I'll really need a miracle. I'm not talking about a coincidence. I'm not talking about some help. I'm talking about a flat-out miracle. I've read this. It's filled with God moving with miraculous things. It's full of God performing miracles. I know. I've got friends. I've talked to some of you that have shared your story of God moving in miraculous ways. They're your stories. They're true. I've seen God do miracles. I have been part of God's miraculous movement. Like, God has used me to perform miracles in people's lives. I know. And I believe in miracles. But somewhere back there, in the back recesses of this bald nugget, I'd be like, I know God has, and I know He can, and I know He does. He probably won't for me. And I forget all about what Isaiah says in chapter 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants to just bust the lid off things and do crazy, amazing things. Sometimes we're like, it just doesn't seem logical. Humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense. You see, when it comes to God's will, sometimes it lines up with human reasoning and logic. And many times it does not, because God is not confined, restrained to human reasoning and logic. Amen? God is beyond human reasoning and logic. In fact, if you were to put yourself in one of the disciples' shoes, sandals, so to speak, I think we would often see that God caused them to be uncomfortable. And God worked outside of human reasoning and logic a lot. Like that one late afternoon when Jesus decided He wanted to be generous and feed the whole crowd. 5,000 men, not counting their wives and their children, could have been anywhere 12 to 15,000 people. And Jesus looks at His disciples, 12. Feed them, boys. They're like, all of them? Jesus. And when they realized He was serious, they all pulled off their satchels and backpacks. They're looking and they're like, but Jesus, we got like 5 loaves of bread and 2 salmon. What? Humanly speaking, this is not happening, right? But God is not constrained by human reasoning and human logic. And He steps into the supernatural, doesn't He? That's where Jesus is. And that's where Jesus does His best work, is in that supernatural. He's like, you just want something? Okay, I had this in mind, but if all you want is that, okay. Right? Jesus goes beyond human reasoning, human logic, and he steps into the supernatural. What's impossible for men is totally doable and easy for God. What's impossible for man is a piece of chocolate cake with chocolate frosting for God. Piece of cake. People talk logic about having children. If this, you know, great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall if a preacher loves you, he's going to be all right. All right, but sometimes people have this conversation in regards of having children. They're like, I don't know, I think we're going to have children, but I'm just not sure when. I'm just not sure if we're ready to have children, you know, because we don't have a big house. And, you know, you have to have a huge house in order to have children, right? And we don't have the $237,000 set aside that it's going to take to raise that kid. And we don't even have an SUV because we know you can't raise kids without an SUV, right? And so watch this. But the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord. Children are a blessing. Where else in Scripture can you go when you're like, no, God, no blessings today. No, I think I'm just not ready for a blessing. Right? Human reasoning and logic at its best. People rely way too much on logic, way too much on human reasoning. It's just true. For example, back in 2005, I was a police officer with the city of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Cush job. Like, I could work as hard or not as I wanted to. I drove around in an air-conditioned car in the summertime when it was 100 degrees. I drove around with a heated car when it was 20 below. I mean, I could get out of my car if I wanted to. I didn't have to. I didn't, you know. I made really good money, really good benefits, just a cush job, cush hours. And on August 8th, 2005, I walked into the police department and I quit. Why? Because God said I was supposed to plant a church. No money. No building. No chairs. No equipment. No mics. No people. Usually that's a good thing to have. No, none. Just the call of God on my life and faith to believe that God would deliver the goods. Faith to believe that God would honor a call and obedience to that call, regardless of what the world says. You know what I was called? I was called an idiot by so many people. I was told I was making terrible, terrible decisions. I was told that I was endangering my family's future, safety, and livelihood. Can I tell you something? Some of these things are not going to come as a surprise to you. I have been an idiot a number of times in my life. I have made a ton of ridiculous, dumb decisions. But I contend it's still true. Is the best way for my family to stay secure and safe is for me to be in the center of God's will. That was true in 2005, and it's still true today. How about the tithe? Oh, here we go, preacher. I mean, this logically, human reasoning, it just don't hold water, right? Y'all are smart. You know how to do math. You're like, preacher, you said you can do more with 90% than you can with 100%. Not buying it. It don't make sense. It don't make math sense. But it's true. It's true. You will always be able to do more with 90% of your income with God's blessing than you ever could with 100% of your income without God's blessings. And instead of simply taking God at his word, instead of just walking in obedience to God and his word, which we got done declaring this is our authority for everything, not just the fun stuff, not just stuff we like, this is our authority for everything in life. Instead of going back and relying on God and his word and walking in obedience, we're like, you know, that just doesn't make logical sense. Besides, it's not very convenient right now. And we rob ourselves of some of the most amazing, wonderful blessings from God. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 5, I love this. Remember, there's some big capital letters on here, okay? Anybody see that? No, there's not. Man, I could have sworn I did that. All right, so when you see the word all in both of those places, they're supposed to be big fat capitals, okay? I'd blame the person who built that, but it was me. So, where it says all, you fix it for me, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So what do? If we want God's very best, there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut to this, church. Do you want to know God's will? Then seek him. And the scripture says, if you seek him, you will find him. Chase after the heart of God, and he will reveal his heart to you. So how do we seek him? How do we seek him? Studying and looking at this scripture, and just like, this would be a really good recipe. Philippians chapter 4. How do we seek him? Verse 6. Don't worry about anything. You know, that takes care of that human reasoning and logic. It's like, oh, you know, I just got to think about this, and that doesn't make sense, and I think, and I believe, and I feel, and right? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Where do we don't ask God first, right? Go to God first. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and thank him for all he has done. You know what I like to do? Thank you in advance. Thank you in advance because you're good. You're God. I know you got this, and even if you don't answer it the way I'm asking, I know you're answering what's best for me. Then you will experience God's peace. No, we want God's peace. Don't we long for, in a world that's so chaotic and just losing its ever-loving mind, to have peace? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, God's way, God's will, God's peace, God's love, God's logic are things that this world can't even fathom, can't even begin to comprehend. But you are his child. And he wants, as his child, he wants you to know and to understand and to walk in the grace and love and peace and the ways and the will of the Father. So what are we doing wrong? We're not asking God. We don't ask God. Seek him. Ask him, and he will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. We rely too much on human reasoning and logic. Step out of the world of human reasoning and logic and step in to the world where Jesus operates, into the world of the supernatural. Expect, desire, ask for God to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask, think, or imagine. Step into that world because that's where our God is. That's where he wants us to be. And that's a little uncomfortable for some of those very conservative, careful, you know, raising my hands, people that just, like, you know, I don't know, I'm kind of scared to get out into the supernatural. I don't know what's going to happen. Exactly. Because Isaiah said God's ways are so much higher, so much better than our ways. We like to be in control. We like to know what's coming next. We like to not be surprised most of the time. Even if it comes to your birthday, you're like, I'd really rather not have a surprise birthday party, especially the older we get. Right? We don't like surprises necessarily. We want to be in control is the bottom line. But God says you're not. I am the creator. You are my creation. I am the king. You are royal children. I don't function in the ways that your human mind likes to think. I function beyond reality. I function, or not beyond reality, beyond understanding and logic. I function in the supernatural. I function where impossible is my primary thing I do all day, every day. We want to be in God's will. We want to please God with our lives, but just those two things so often, we go back to the very beginning. We all want to please God. We all want to do God's will. So many times we make decisions and choices that hinder that. Two things. Seek God this week. Ask him what he would like. Ask him what direction you should go. Ask him for God advice. There's nothing wrong with seeking good advice from family and friends and spouse. in your small group, it's fine and great. But rely on God advice above good advice. And don't rely on human logic and reasoning. I know sometimes it'll seem scary, but step out of that world of the known, logical, human reasoning world and step into the supernatural, because that's where our God is. Step into that realm where anything is possible with God. Amen? Father, I just love you so much. And I love your word. We together, we love your word, and we love when you teach us. We love when you speak to us. We love when you challenge us. We love when you make things so clear that there's just a couple of things that I could just tweak to make my life so much easier, that I would walk in obedience of seeking you and trusting you and believing you for miracles in the supernatural. Just those two things that could change this week so much. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would lay aside our will to seek yours. And I pray to God that we would spend time this week alone with you. Just alone. Maybe for you, you have to force yourself to set that alarm an extra 45 minutes earlier, whatever that looks like, so you can find that time with just God. I pray, God, that you would help us to do that, to find that place, to find that time to just be alone with you and really ask you, seek your God advice and direction. And God, I pray that you would help us to believe you for more stronger, more defined, refined faith, to step out and believe having not seen, to take a step where we can't necessarily see our foot landing, but we know you got it. We know you're God, we know you're good, and we know you'll catch us. Because as long as we're walking in accordance with your will, we've already asked you which direction. As long as we know that we sought that, we can take those steps. And the road can be as foggy as it wants to, but it doesn't matter, because we know that we are on the rock. We're walking solidly where you lead us. So help us take these two things, bury them deep within within our mind and with our hearts, but also help them to just bubble up to the surface of our mind and our hearts all through this week. We make these choices to seek you and to believe you, to not be bound and limited by human reasoning and logic. Father, we love you so much. And we ask all of this believing, and we ask all of this in advance, and we ask all of this saying thank you for answering even in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Whose love endures. same, God. You are the same, God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same, God. You are the same, God. You were providing then. You are providing. You are the same.
Come on.
You are the same.
Faithfulness of Jesus Christ. You guys are dismissed.